You there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Visual.
Just went ding. Was that you?
I don't know. I just picked up the phone, so I don't know if that was because I picked up the phone or not.
Starting in a minute or two.
Okay.
We normally start with saying the Anabakoach, so please join me with that. Anabakoach, Gedulat Shemimcha, Tati, Tzerua, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. And we meditate on the two letters Tzadi, which created the constellation Deli, Aquarius, and the Bet, which created the planet Saturn, Shabtai. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu tarenu nora kufrei shayan sintet nun. Two words, cross satan, that in Hebrew mean tear up the satan, tear up the negativity, eliminate the negativity. Na gibor dor sheyechutcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gibor dalad yud kaf shin. Two sets of three Hebrew letters. Nun Gimel Dalet has a gematria, a numerical value of 57, which is the same as the word zan in Hebrew. Zan means parnasah, sustenance. That sequence connects us to the sustenance that Hashem provides for us. Another word for the sustenance is shefa, God's beneficence. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that we can utilize to take back the negativity that we have given over to the other side through the mistakes that we've made, both consciously and unconsciously. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatha Tamid Gamlem Bet Tetresh Sadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Virotucha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach. Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf is a sequence that we utilize in the sixth millennium, in order to spread and speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah, in order to bring the Mashiach in a more rapid manner. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shinkufav Tzadiyud Tov. And the last line is said in a whisper, which we call silently, but I will say it out loud for learning purposes. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayet. Next we bring in the Zohar, and we'll read a verse from the Zohar to connect to that energy. This is a verse from the portion of Yitro, which is the portion from this week. It's titled, On Eagle's Wings. Vayi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. That's a verse that is like a blessing before reading or studying the Zohar. Atem ra'item asher asiti l'mitzrayim ve'esa etchem al kanpei nisharim ma'id kanpei nisharim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'rachamei diktiv kinesher ya'ir kino v'gomer v'haynu raza di'amar Rabbi Shimon derech ha'nesher v'shamayim mai v'shamayim v'rachamei ma nesher ishtekach v'rachamei al benoi v'dina v'gabei acharanin kach kutsha berichu ishtekach v'rachamei v'gabei Yisrael v'dina v'gabei amin ayin ayin kach vav mem sofit. You have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I bore you on eagle's wings. Shemot chapter 19, one of the verses. What does eagle's wings mean? Rabbi Yehuda said that eagle's wings means mercy. As it is written in the verse, as an eagle stirs up her nest. Devarim chapter 32. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32. Meaning that an eagle signifies mercy. And this is the secret in Rabbi Shimon's words. The way of the vultures in the air, a verse from Mishle of Proverbs chapter 30. In the air means with mercy, for Zeranpin is called heaven and has mercy, for Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet are judgment and mercy. As the eagle watches mercifully over its own young, but is cruel towards others, so is the Holy One, blessed be He, merciful towards Israel, but judges the heathen nations severely. You can read this verse on its surface. It's fairly simple to understand at that level, in that way. It's saying that Israel is dealt with mercifully by the Kadosh Baruch Hu. All of the trials and tribulations of the Jewish people and the Israeli people over the centuries are really a mercy. It's a movement of people, it's an elevation of people through this struggle, and to bring them back to the study of Torah, to the actions of Torah. And if they would follow the Torah, none of this would be necessary. And yet in another frame, it is necessary. But ultimately, the other nations, according to the various prophecies, the other nations will have their effect of their actions toward the nation of Israel. One of the things to keep in mind, or one of the explanations for why the redemption from Israel came earlier than the prophecy said 400 years, and it was only 190 years. And one of the explanations is that through the hard bondage which again was not hard bondage, but was restricting the movement and the growth of the Jewish nation, and causing the nation to have pain and suffering far beyond what was necessary for the Jewish people to bond into a nation. That because of that, one of the effects of that harsh bondage was that the redemption came early. And that's one of the reasons that the Egyptians were caused to be killed in the Sea of Reeds, in the Yam Suf. Before we get started with tonight's class, which is about tzedakah, charity, does anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay, in the physical class here, I'm handing out the two parts. One is the handout about a deeper discussion of the Hebrew letters and the power of the Hebrew letters, and the other is about tzedakah itself, charity itself. So, to start the conversation, I want to remind everyone never to believe a word I say, but I do ask that you try to utilize the tools that we teach. Through the use of the tools, you will change yourself, and in so doing, you will change the world around you. But the emphasis has to be on you changing, not on you believing me and following what I say, but by you growing in your own way. Hashem creates all of us in different ways with different desires to receive. And it's up to us to implement those desires to receive, because there are parts of the light that need to be revealed. And ultimately, only you can reveal that part of the light, that aspect of the light that is yours to reveal. You can't reveal what I'm supposed to reveal, and I can't reveal what you're supposed to reveal. So we're going to start talking about tzedakah. Tzedakah has become a corrupted word in our generation. There are two words for Hebrew that reflect the concept of charity. One is the word truma, which in 2 weeks is the name of the portion. And it's a portion that is out of context and out of historical context in the sequence of what took place in the Bible. The major sin of the golden calf comes, well, the next few weeks. We have Yitro this week and Mishpatim next week. The week after that, we have the portion of Truma. Then we have the portion of Tetzaveh. And then we have the sin of the golden calf in Kitutzeh. And then we have two portions that literally almost, not word for word, but very close, concept for concept, repeat the two portions of Truma and Tetzaveh. So it's like we are sandwiching the sin of the golden calf between two positive portions before and two positive portions after. And the sequence of those two positive before comes to teach us about a Hashem always creates the cure before he sends the disease. The disease was the sin of the golden calf. In our life, the sin of the golden calf continues to exist every day, unfortunately. Hashem sends us that energy of the building of the Mishkan and the energy of the clothing of the high priest, which is what Truma and Tetzaveh represent in the portions. Hashem sends us the cure before the disease. Whereas in the physical world, when the happening in the desert, the disease took place, the sin of the golden calf took place, and then Hashem gave us the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. How does this all relate to charity? Well, we first have to start with two questions. One question is really, why are there poor people in the world? Why are there people who need charity? And what is charity are the two questions. The Hebrew words for charity, as I said, truma, which means contribution. And the Hebrew word for charity, which really doesn't have a clear English translation, is tzedakah. Tzedakah comes from the root tzedek. Tzedek has two meanings that are really the same, but we don't know that. We can't understand that. One meaning of tzedek is justice. And there is the famous verse in Tehillim, in Psalms, tzedek, tzedek, you shall pursue. Justice, justice you shall pursue. Why is justice repeated twice? What is the meaning of that? Another meaning for the word tzedek is the planet Jupiter. Jupiter is the largest planet in our solar system. The essence of Jupiter is expansion, is sharing. So there are many translations of that verse, tzedek, tzedek you shall pursue, to help us understand that it really means expand with justice. This is the truth. This is the pursuit of happiness. And other translations, very deep and very meaningful. But the tool that Hashem gave us is truma and tzedakah. They're two different tools. But the corruption of the language, the corruption of the people who solicit charity, everything is called tzedakah. And it's confusing. And it's not truth. So let's understand what the difference is between the two words. At the time of the temple, the prophets had described that the temple was going to be destroyed unless people changed. And they would constantly rebuke the people and then promise them good things if they changed. Rebuke and change. It's the same message that we are giving today. Change yourself or accept the consequences. The world that you have created for yourself has chaos in it. Excuse me. How do I know that? Because everybody's world has chaos. Chaos is defined as what most people consider natural. Chaos is unhappiness. Chaos is a lack of joy. Chaos is the loss of a child or a parent. Chaos is having an accident that causes pain and suffering. Chaos, in one section, section of the Talmud is just the most eye-opening section. The sages are discussing what is chaos. And one says the loss of a child, and one says illness, and one says drought, and one says financial calamity. All of these things are definitely chaos. And along comes one sage, and I love this story, because he says that chaos is when he reaches into his pocket and he picks out 2 coins instead of 3. You and I probably would not consider that chaos. But he was on a level, and he knew that even that is an indication to him that he has done something wrong. And if he's looking at his actions, these are the things that tell him that. All of the people had been told by the prophets the temple was going to be destroyed. And Jeremiah comes with a prophecy and a request to Hashem. He rebukes the people and then he says, God, please send us a truly poor man. What is a truly poor man? A truly poor man is the only person who receives tzedakah. And that's why the sages can say, a truly poor man, the giving of tzedakah will save you from death. Whereas truma, contribution, we learn from the story of Jacob at the ladder, at the dream of the ladder, in the portion of Vayishlach, I think. Jacob goes to sleep, he dreams of the ladder going up and down, and then when he arises, he says, God is in this place, and I didn't know. And if God is truly with me and truly gives me what he has promised, then I will give 10% as a donation, as a offering, as a truma. What is this 10%? What is the contribution? In the secular world, in the world of the other religions, 10% is tithing. The church is entitled to 10% of my income. The church is entitled to 10% of my time. The real understanding of Truma is in the tree of life called the Sfirot. We have 10 Sfirot. We always refer to the Malchut, which is our physical world. We always refer to our physical world as having no light of its own. It's only receiving from above, but it has no light of, it has no creation of its own. And this same cycle is true in all aspects of our life. Malchut has no light of its own. I worked today, I got paid today. 10% of what I got paid has no light for me. It's not mine. It came to me, but it came to me in order for me to share. It's not mine. Truma is that contribution of 10% that doesn't belong to me, that I need to be looking for places to donate it to. So I can donate it to the hospital, and I can donate it to the government with a parking ticket. But that's the things that happen when I don't do Truma on my own. That's when I don't do Truma on my own, then the universe takes it away. So I get a parking ticket or a speeding ticket. People wonder why sometimes they speed and don't get tickets, and then sometimes they speed and they do get tickets. And what's the difference? The universe is causing you to lose that portion of your income and your time in other ways that don't belong to you. In fact, Jacob had 12 children. One of them had to be donated, had to be taken away. In one sense, Joseph was sold into slavery, taking it away from him. In another sense, the tribe of Levi replaced the firstborn in doing the work in the temple. But it was the tribe of Levi was dedicated to Hashem, in which case Jacob didn't belong to him. It belonged to Hashem. It needed to be dealt with in that way. 10% of our time, 10% of our energy, 10% of our money, 10% of anything we receive has no light for us. It has no What does it mean to have no light for us? It means that it's not ours. It means it's not for us to reveal. It's for us, it's given to us to share. Look for places to share it. Look for the truly poor person. Over and above the 10% of Truma, of contribution, there is a level called Tzedakah, which saves you from death. Tzedakah, justice, is an indication, if you truly are using Tzedakah properly,
no.
If you are truly using Tzedakah properly, then when Rosh Hashanah was happening back in September, and judgments were coming down into the world, there is a negative decree that's been issued towards a particular person. That decree is justice. That decree is appropriate for the person. But there's also the opportunity, Hashem knows, that this person can change that decree. He can change that decree through tefillah, through prayer, which is another subject. He can change that decree through the giving of tzedakah. So Hashem sends a truly poor person to that person to give them, that person, an opportunity to convert the decree, to change it, to make his life less chaotic. What does he have to do with that? How does he know that this person is a truly poor person? And it's simple and yet complex. We live in a society that has homeless people. We live in a society that has hospitals that need to be built. We live in a society that has churches and synagogues that need to be built. Or do they? When that homeless person approaches us, He's going to buy drugs. He's going to buy alcohol. Should I give him a dollar? Should I give him a penny? What should I do? If he's truly a poor person, I want to run after him and give him more, because I certainly want that decree changed for me. How do I know someone is truly a poor person? It's really very simple. A poor person has no desire to receive. A poor person, a truly poor person, knows that God provides for him. He knows it at a level of gut. He doesn't worry whether you're going to give him a penny or a dollar, because he knows that at the end of the day, Hashem will have provided for him enough food and a place to sleep that will be safe. This is the consciousness of a truly poor person. In the course of my spiritual path, I have solicited charity, and I have solicited tzedakah, and I have been taught to have the contribution, to have the consciousness of a truly poor person. When I asked for tzedakah, for donations, I am coming to you with the consciousness, it doesn't matter to me whether you give or you don't give, because I know Hashem is going to provide. I know Hashem wants this information revealed in the world. So he will send the resources to allow it to be revealed. Are you going to be the one who reaches into your pocket or your time? Are you going to be that one, or are you not? Doesn't matter to me, because I'm only doing it for you, to give you that opportunity. Tzedakah is not always available to people. As Jeremiah said, send us a poor person. And Hashem's answer was, you don't merit a poor person. The temple was destroyed. The temple was prophesied to be destroyed. Jeremiah wanted a solution, a way of changing it without people making the changes. And that's not going to ever work. If you have the merit, a truly poor person will cross your path. When that happens, run after them. How do you know that it's right for you? It's very simple. Put a penny in a homeless person's hand. If he gets upset, this is not a truly poor person. If he just walks away, run after him and give him as much cash as you have and give him your credit cards too. Because he is a truly poor person. He doesn't care what you give him. He was sent to you as a route, as an opportunity to give tzedakah. When you put the penny in the homeless person's man and he berates you and he yells at you and he curses you, say thank you and give him a dollar. Say thank you for allowing me to lower my ego and give him a dollar, because he may need it. Well, but he's going to go buy drugs or he's going to go buy alcohol. That's not for you to decide what someone else is going to do, because that dollar has no value to you. It was given to you to share it, to contribute it. Go and contribute it. Is it contribution when you go to a synagogue and make a donation and then put your name on the wall. It's not a contribution because you're doing it in exchange for the honor of seeing your name on the wall. Is it a contribution when you put your parents' name who have passed on the wall? You're contributing it in their honor? Well, there are sages and there are writings that will tell you that's still a contribution. You're helping the soul of people who have passed elevate. You're helping them bring come out of Gehinnom, of what is translated as hell, but is not the hell that the secular world knows. But to understand that, there are also sages who say, just give the contribution in your mind and in your consciousness for the elevation of the soul. It doesn't need to be manifest in the physical world on a wall. There are both things are correct. Both directions are correct. We have the saying in Hebrew that, well, I'll translate into English because I don't remember the Hebrew. And that's essentially that this and this are both of the words of the living God. Both opinions are correct. Choose which one you want to follow. You want to give a contribution, give a contribution. You want to give a contribution to elevate your parents or elevate someone you know or elevate something else, go ahead and do that. You want to do it, give a contribution without, anonymously, go ahead and do that. This and this are the words of the living God. The essence, the mistake that is made is to call contribution tzedakah. Tzedakah can only be given to someone who has the consciousness of a truly poor person. The consciousness of a truly poor person, he does not care if you make the contribution or not, because he knows Hashem will provide. So it doesn't matter to him what you do. He was only put in your face because Hashem feels you have the merit to be given the opportunity to reach in your pocket or into your sense of time and donate. And when you do that, and it will be hard for you to do that, when you do that, you are minimizing, sweetening, erasing a decree that should manifest in your life. In the stories of the prophecies, we have a wonderful example. It's being read not this week, but I think next week. We have the story about the prophet who said, Jerusalem is going to be sacked, but we can change that, and all you have to do is give up your slaves. Well, we don't have slaves today, but we do have slaves. We're all slaves to our own desire to receive for oneself alone. But this prophet was talking in the physical level to the people of Jerusalem. Give up your slaves, and Hashem will save you. Hashem will not allow his city to be sacked. And the people all agreed, and they released and gave freedom to all of the slaves in the city. 100% of the slaves were freed. And Nebuchadnezzar looked like he was coming towards Jerusalem and changed his mind and went to Egypt and sacked Egypt. And how soon we forget. 3 months later, having heard about the sack of Egypt, the people who had released their slaves took them back. This was the opportunity to eliminate physical slavery. it didn't succeed because the people didn't want to give up their dependence on the illusion of financial wealth that's represented by slavery. They took back their slaves, and lo and behold, Nebuchadnezzar had to pass Jerusalem on his way home, and he sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. In a period of 3 months, the people saw the miracle. They saw him change his mind. How soon we forget. Tzedakah and Truma is something that we forget all the time. We always forget. Somebody comes and asks for a contribution of time. Somebody comes and asks for a contribution of food. Somebody comes and asks for a contribution of money. I worked hard for that money. I don't have the time. I might be hungry tomorrow. Does Hashem provide for you each and every day? In the desert, Hashem sent manna. Manna would land based on the spiritual level of the person right at your doorstep or 2,000 cubits away, 2,000 amot distance. 2,000 amot is the distance that you can walk on Shabbat. So the people would go out looking for their manna. How did they know their manna was theirs and not yours? There was an affinity between each piece of manna and the person. A person could not pick up manna that didn't belong to them. The manna knew who it belonged to, who was going to reveal its essence by consuming it, and the people knew which manna was theirs. So Moses' manna fell at his doorstep, and Aaron's manna fell at his doorstep. And the 70 elders' manna fell maybe a yard away, an amot away. Not right at the doorstep, a little bit of effort was involved. But the more negative someone was, the less sharing someone was, the more effort someone needed to put into the picking of the manna, in the providing of the food, is an indication of where people are spiritually. This is hard for people to hear. It's hard to say, I work in construction, and that means that I'm working physically hard, and therefore someone who's using his brain who doesn't have to work physically hard as hard is higher spiritually. It's not really true. Or is it? I leave that to you to answer for yourself. There are no answers that are simple to this question. And it's never about me versus the other person. It's about me. Where am I today versus where was I yesterday? Did I improve spiritually? Will my manna be a step closer today? Will work come a little easier? Will God send me a truly poor person? Or did I fall? My mana's an extra step further. I'm worrying about my job. I'm worrying about how to pay the rent. What is all of that? It's understanding the messages that God is sending us. It's understanding and evaluating where we, each of us, are spiritually. This is not an easy discussion. It's difficult for people to hear this. It's a tool that we to utilize the knowledge that there is 10% of everything that is given to us to use wisely, to share with other people, is a great gift. And at the same time, the understanding that what we receive is also giving us indications of where we are spiritually. Was it easier to work 10 years ago or harder? Was it easier? Did I have more time to donate and I didn't? What about the year that I got 5 traffic tickets? What was that all about? What was the message in that? Either you ask the questions, and one of the truth hurt statements I will make, one never asks the question unless one wants to know the answer. If you want to grow spiritually, tzedakah and truma are tools. We don't need to think that something is tzedakah when it's truma. We don't need to be lied to by the people who collect contributions, calling something tzedakah when it's not. But they do it, because if someone really understands tzedakah and someone says, give me tzedakah, you're going to be more inclined to give it than if you don't hear it that term. You hear it as truma. The opening verse of the portion of truma is said, ask the people to give from their heart, and I will find a place, I'm paraphrasing, but I will find a place to be among them. When you share, God is among you. God is in your heart. God doesn't look for you. You are being his channel. You are being a chariot for Hashem. When you remember that this doesn't belong to you, so give it away. But you have to remember, when you give it away, it's because it's not yours to begin with. It was only given to you to share. And you have to remember that Hashem will provide for you. I have told this story before, and I'll tell it again. One of my roommates, after I started to study Kabbalah, I lived with a man for 4 years. We lived together in a time that we should never have lived together. Astrologically, we were not compatible, and it was very difficult for each of us to live with the other. After 4 years, we'd irritated each other enough, it was time to move on. We moved on. He moved on and opened a storefront synagogue, a storefront Bet HaMidrash, a place to study Kabbalah. And he would solicit donations from people, and he lived upstairs in this storefront building. And he struggled. He had rent to pay. He had utilities to pay. And I walked in to his situation one day, and he pointed. He said, here's the 3-day notice to quit or pay rent, and here's the red notice to pay the power bill, and I don't have a dollar to pay either. And I'm going to lose my lease, or Hashem will provide. And he didn't walk out down the street to go soliciting more money. He sat down at the table, and he opened up a book of Kabbalah, and together we studied for 2 hours. And all during this 2 hours, I know I couldn't have sat there knowing I had all of these bills to pay. I couldn't do it, but he did. He had the certainty that Hashem would provide. The end of the 2 hours, just before the landlord arrived to start the eviction process, I'm being a little colorful with that, as we all know, that's not the way it works. But the essence of it, just before closing time, somebody arrived and paid a donation sufficient to pay the rent and to pay the power bill. If you have the certainty, it happens. It's difficult to have the certainty. It's something that you have to work on. And there are tools to do so. But remember, when someone approaches you and asks you for a dollar, give them a penny. See if they are a truly poor person. One of the things to note is if somebody asks you for food, they're more than likely going to be a poor person than if somebody asks you for money. If somebody asks you for a contribution, do you have some charity for me, and doesn't mention amount, more than likely they're going to be a poor person than if they say, can you give me $3? I need $12 to get to the bus. God is not limited. Being a channel for God doesn't limit. When somebody says, give me $12 for the bus, he's saying, I'm limiting God. I'm limiting you. Can you help me get a bus ticket? Reach in your pocket. Know that this is probably a truly poor person. These are the tools. Remember, don't believe a word I say, but test it for yourself. When you reach into your hands, when you reach into your pocket and you pull out a dollar, and you go to reach it and give it to a human being, understand that you are being a channel for the Tetragrammaton, for Hashem. Understand that your arm represents the Yud, that your hand represents with its five fingers, the hay. The numerical value of the hay is five. When you reach your hand across the distance to his hand, that's the Yud becoming a Vav, lengthening itself, becoming the Vav. And his hand, which has five fingers, is the lower hay, the manifestation. The exchange of that money into his hand is sharing of the spiritual with the physical. When you give money or anything into a person's hand, and that hand is a left hand, they're indicating to you that they're receiving this for a desire to receive for themselves alone. So tell them to change hands. Give the money only into their right hand, which represents the desire to receive in order to share. Continuity. Hashem is the energy of continuity. Be the channel for Hashem. Be the channel for continuity. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. We're talking about tzedakahs. No, I believe. Well, I'm not a Mormon, so I don't really know, but I believe that they require tithing at 10%, and that if you have a business and you give 10% of the gross rather than 10% of the net, they will be your banker. They promise to be your banker. But there are many stories about them. But the essence of their teaching is based on Jacob's dream and Jacob's statement after the dream. The recognition that 10% doesn't belong to you, that you are given it as a guardian to husband it, to control it, to help it by sharing. Take that 10% and create continuity by sharing it with others. Create the continuity, become like Hashem. That's what sharing is about. In the Jewish halakha, in the Jewish law, not really law, but in the path that we follow, in the recommendations of how to do things so that chaos stays away from our life, we cannot give more than 26% of what we earn. The recommended amount is 10 to 20%. And even with tzedakah, even with levels that control and save our life and remove decrees, 26% is the maximum. Why 26? That's the gematria of Hashem. If you give more than that, you're leaving yourself open to need to be taken care of. And Hashem doesn't want you to be taken care of. Hashem doesn't want homeless people. Hashem does not want people with chaos in their life. Hashem wants you to understand the rules of the universe and utilize the tools. It's not a miracle when you share. I mean, it is a miracle because we're so selfish. But the essence of follow the rules. If you give more than 26%, you risk becoming destitute yourself. If you give 10%, that's the minimum. Where do you want to give before? I only gave 3% last year. I'm making this as an example. Sometime in my lifetime, that 7% is going to have to be paid. It's going to have to be paid by me being forced to sell stock that I thought was worth a lot of money and now isn't worth a lot of money. I lost all this money, but I didn't really lose anything until I'm forced to sell it. But why am I being forced to sell it today when the value is down? Contribution, that 10%, isn't yours. Share it. If you don't share it, the universe will take it away from you. And it does so in various ways.
Like, I think you have a problem with
organization. First off, there are many, many people who only will give to nonprofit organizations if their contribution becomes tax deductible to them. Mm-hmm. Is that sharing?
No.
Obviously not. The tax laws, all government, this is going to come across very strong. And I don't really mean it to be strong. Government is generally not a tool of Hashem. Government is used as a way of changing and mixing and turning the financial pot. Government in our secular society has become a point of helping the downtrodden at the expense of the wealthy. That's what the graduated income tax is supposed to accomplish. But in truth, the opposite is true. The government taxes people, and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And that we have seen pretty consistently over the last 300 years. Irrespective of that, the question you're asking is, how do I decide to give to a nonprofit that I don't think is using the money properly? That's really your question, isn't it? Why? Because they don't pay taxes, they're getting double pay?
Because they don't pay taxes. They're getting, so that's...
Why are you counting their money?
Because I've had an experience that
is so getting back to my question, what you're really saying is, how do I decide who I give my contribution to such that I know that they will use the money properly? That's what's the important thing to you.
You don't.
And the real question is not what's important to you. Why did that person come into your life and give you the opportunity to share that money? Conversely, if it's an important value to you, what that company is saying they represent, get involved with the company. Nonprofits have participatory approaches. Get involved with the company so that you can make sure that the money is spent in a way that you want it to be, not necessarily a way that disappoints you. But it's not about what happens to the money. If the homeless person takes your dollar and buys a glass of wine or a bottle of wine, it's not your problem. Your problem is to not care what they do. That's an excuse that people use. I won't give it to that person because he's going to buy drugs or he's going to buy alcohol. I care. I don't want him to abuse my money. It's not your money. It's not your money. It's not your time. It has no light for you. Share it. Let God worry about what the person does with it. Don't share tzedakah with someone who's not a truly poor person. I've given you some ways of knowing who is a truly poor person. Don't worry about what people do with the money you share, the time you share, because it's not yours. Recognize it's not yours. If it's important enough, if you have that desire, get involved with that organization. Yes, a nonprofit will approach you. Why are they nonprofit? Because many people won't give them unless they can deduct it on their taxes. This is what 10, 15, 20 years ago, you gave tzedakah, you gave charity. It was deductible in the U.S. as tax on your taxes. Today, that's not true. It's based on certain rules and regulations. All of this has nothing to do with the spiritual truth. What is the spiritual truth? 10% does not belong to you. Share it. I'm not saying go share it with me. I'm not saying go share it with somebody else. I'm not sure go give it to the homeless man all in one lump. He wouldn't know what to do with it, and he'll piss it away. Yet, it's not up to you. Share it. However you decide to share it, share it. Don't worry about what the other person is going to do with it. If it's important to you, you'll make it your business to find out what organization and how they're going to use it. Don't feel disappointed, because what is disappointment? It's chaos. You had an expectation that your money would be used in a certain way. Did you have the right to that expectation? Maybe you had the right to the expectation, maybe you didn't. I don't know the words that were said. But ultimately, what you gave them doesn't belong to you. How do I know? Because if it did belong to you, it would come back to you. The Kabbalist who owns a business, and someone comes to him and says, that employee that you just hired is a thief. Most secular people would say, I'm going to fire him. I can't risk having things stolen from me. The Kabbalist says, if I owe him the money from a previous lifetime, let him take it. It's an easy way for me to cleanse. And if I don't owe him the money and he takes it from me, I'm going to get it back, so why? I'm not worried. This is the certainty that the way Hashem runs the world is just. Tzedakah, Truma, is just. There is no light in that 10% for you. Share it. Share it without an expectation. Because expectations only lead to unfulfilled expectation. And that's another word for chaos. Sharing is different than giving. That's a whole discussion unto itself. Sharing is when I share with someone who is in affinity with me. When I reach out with the dollar and put it in the homeless person's hand, and I'm using the consciousness of being a channel of God, of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, there's an affinity. His hand is part of the four letters. There's affinity there. What he does with the money doesn't matter after that instant. I don't give it to him with the expectation he'll do good with it. I give him with the expectation that it's not mine, that I need to share it in order to keep what's mine. If I don't share it, it's going to be taken away from me. I will get the chas v'shalom, the parking ticket, the traffic ticket, the car accident, the bumper where I have to pay for something. And I'm sorry to have this discussion. I don't mean to apply it to you, Gloria. It's not what the discussion is about. And I hope you don't feel that way. I'm not doing it for that reason. It's part of the lessons of what is tzedakah. Why do people have big bills? You go to the hospital, you saving your life. The doctor diagnosed you with the cancer. Whatever it takes to pay to be saved. Okay, life is precious. Whatever, all of my resources, because I can always earn more, but if I'm dead, there's no way to earn it. That's the consciousness. But ultimately, that money is being changed, being taxed by the universe. That's why does somebody have insurance and somebody not have insurance? One is wealthier than the other and can afford insurance. It's part of the system of tzedakah, part of the system of truma. Someone who gets ill, who doesn't have insurance and gets these big hospital bills, that person in their previous lifetime didn't do their 10%. So they have to do it in this lifetime when they can't afford it, when it's harder, when they're struggling. The universe is just. We don't see the justice because we don't see cause and effect. We see the effect. There's a big hospital bill. What makes it just? I had a heart attack in 2005. I walked in to the hospital. I walked out with a pacemaker, with stents, and a $125,000 hospital bill. I didn't have insurance. I can tell you that $125,000 had to be paid. Who paid it? Some organization picked up my hospital bill. The hospital wrote it off. The organization discounted it. I don't even know. Why did it come and I was given an opportunity? On the books of the universe, that $125,000 was money I did not give tzedakah for in my last lifetime. The reason it was paid off was because I did tshuva, which is a subject we'll talk about in the next week or two. I was able to reverse that, so it was as if I had given it, so I didn't have to pay. But we don't see cause and effect. We don't see how the universe works. We don't understand the laws, the spiritual laws, that control in our universe, in our world. We think we're in control. We think we know how to make it work. If we follow the laws of Torah, we will cleanse and reach a point where we will not have chaos in our life. Part of the laws of Torah is to give contribution. Know that every time you don't give 10% of your money or your time or your food or whatever, every time you don't, the universe is keeping track down to the last atom. Not the last penny, the last atom. What came to you and you didn't share will have to be shared. It will be taxed away. I remember my father was paying 50% tax. The highest rate today is 38% tax. Why the difference? That generation hadn't done their tzedakah in their previous lifetimes. But now the generation has more in place. Are there countries where the taxes are 15%? Absolutely. Why is someone born into that tax world instead of our tax world? Every generation, every soul has a different purpose in this world. The place they're born to is all part of that system. Learn to see cause and effect. We don't see it. We think it's physical, and it's never physical. One of the laws, one of the rules of the spiritual world is there's no light in that bottom 10% for you. why were you given it? To give it away. To create continuity. That's the law. Can I give you more explanations as to why? Sure. But is that really the purpose? Ultimately, it's a simple law to follow. What doesn't belong to you, that 10%, share. Give it away without an expectation. Give it away for the sole purpose of connecting to the energy of continuity. Because continuity will bring back to you what is yours. And God, Hashem, wants to give you more than even you want to receive. Any other question? Have I answered your question? No, but I'm never cold. Leonora. I wish all of you a good night, reminding you that tomorrow night there's a phone call at 10 o'clock leading directly from the Zohar. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shalom.